morning, turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I know I looked this morning. If you're in the back section and you grab one of the pew Bibles, it is page number 768, Luke 16. But Luke chapter 16 and the gospel there, if you don't have a Bible, try to share with somebody nearby. A number of years ago, there was a man that was driving to school, and he had a little Saturn vehicle. Those of you know the little tiny Saturn sedans. It was one of those cold, cloudy, it was similar today, but it was raining, and the roads were wet. There was a fog that was pretty thick on that morning. The driver, though, was feeling pretty good as a teacher, so he's singing along with his favorite CD, and he had his cup of Dunkin' Donuts in his hand. And all of a sudden, though, the car hit a curve. And the teacher, as he was driving, he didn't notice. He had driven this way all the time, but he forgot that this curve was coming, and he hit the curve. The driver was going off the road, and he overcorrected, which took him into the oncoming lane. As all of this was going on, the driver was still holding his Dunkin' Donuts coffee in his hand. The driver then overcorrected again. And all of a sudden, the back end of the car got loose and started to spin. The car spun out of control three times, and he landed in a ditch, still holding his Dunkin' Donuts cup of coffee. A man behind the driver stopped to see him and see if he was okay, and he offered a ride. This was a few years ago, offered a ride to a payphone. I don't know if some of you younger guys may not know what those are. But there was he offered him a ride to a payphone. A tow truck came to get the car out, and when the driver of the truck saw the car and the way it was sitting, the tow truck driver came over to the guy, the driver, and said, "Hey, do you see that driveway just about 10 feet away?" And the tow truck driver then explained. He said, "Just a few weeks prior to that, a young girl had went off the road in the same way that he had spun around, and when she hit the driveway, her car flipped a number of times, and she was killed." After the driver explains this, he said, after a time of reflection, the driver realized two things. First, his priorities were messed up. And the reason he said that, because he was willing to sacrifice a $15,000 Saturn in order to keep his Dunkin' Donuts cup. He said that was the first thing that he realized. His priorities were a little out of skew because he couldn't possibly lose his coffee. But, hey, I'll smash my car. The second thing that he realized was that he was only 10 feet away from death. When was the first time in your life that you realize that death was real? Maybe it was when you were younger. Maybe you had a relative that passed away. Maybe you had a friend that passed away. Or it could be that you were watching the news even this past week. It seems like more and more you have nut jobs that are out there that get onto campuses. And even this past week was a guy trying to find Christians and basically annihilate them. But when was it that you realized that death is not a fairy tale? Maybe it could be that you went to a funeral. Maybe you went to somewhere and you, maybe it was a hospital and somebody, you might have been going to visit somebody else and then somebody, maybe in the next room or in the ER, somebody was declared dead. And it just sunk into your being that death is for real. I'm going to consider this idea of death this morning. Look at Luke chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 19. Well, then we're going to try to draw a word picture. I think the historian here, Luke, does it well for us. But Luke here is going to draw us a word picture, and I hope that you can come along with us and hopefully be able to see what the Luke, the historian, the follower of Christ, what he tries to reveal to us. In verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, let's stop there. We'll try to help you out. Most of us, when we read this first verse, it's not necessarily that you think of somebody very wealthy, because most of us, when we get done, let's say one of my favorite steakhouses in Northwest Indiana is Kelsey's Steakhouse. And if I go there and I get a ribeye steak and I get it Kelsey style, which means garlic butter put on it, and man, it's sizzling there, and I get done, and I walk out, and the waiter or the maitre d' at the front says, "Hey, how was your steak?" I don't stop and say, "Man, I fared sumptuously." Most of you are like, there's a problem with you. I don't know what that means. It really sounds weird. Most of us don't talk that way, but what it means is, as Mr. Fly says, he did some throwdown. He was throwing it down. He was smashing it, as some of you might say. He knew how to eat. There was a man here that was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And look at verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Look at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But then notice, the rich man also died and was buried. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we consider this idea of death this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for an opportunity to gather around the Scriptures. I ask that you would calm our hearts and spirits. You would help us, even as the testimony led, that we would consider our destiny as far as eternity. The Bible tells us that there's only two choices. There's heaven and hell. And without a choice on our part in choosing Christ, we choose hell. Lord, we'd ask that there would be clarity as we speak this morning. Lord, as always, I ask that you do what I can, and that is to speak to hearts. Lord, we claim your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at the text now. A couple of things that we've got to right away say, because some people, in looking at this text, they look at a rich man and they look at a beggar, and they then deduce and they say, you know what, I always knew it. And in essence, God says to you, or to those people on the earth, when you die, you know what? You had a lot of wealth. Yeah, you know what? You're going straight to hell. And, oh, you didn't have much? Come on to heaven. No, it doesn't mean if you're rich, you're going to hell, and if you're poor, you're going to heaven. That is not what the text is teaching us. Right, and so you got to make sure to line up Scripture with Scripture. It's not saying that, you know, if I don't have a lot, then obviously, ooh, I think I'm going to make it. But man, those wealthy people, I don't know about that. That's not what the text is saying. And so we have to make sure of that. It's teaching us, one of the main points is found in our text here in verse 22. It came to pass. And notice, it doesn't say that it was by circumstance or by chance. No, it came to pass. It means that this come to pass is going to happen to every one of us. It came to pass, the beggar died. But notice what it also says, and the rich man also died. This is what you can mark down. It's going to come to pass whether you're rich or you're poor, or whether you're middle income, or whether you're low income, or whether you're high income, it's going to come to pass that you're going to die. That's what you can mark down. It's appointed unto man once to die. You can mark it down. But in our text here, let's try to picture it a little bit. Most of us, when I read this text in verse 19, and I hear about a rich man, and that he fared sumptuously, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, my mind comes to America. And so I'm looking at a long table maybe of mahogany or cherry, and it's got runners around it, it's got wood floors, and I come into a huge banquet hall. But this is back in Middle Eastern times, and it's during the time of Christ, and it's a little bit different. If a rich man was going to have a banquet, it was very often that they had banquets. It was common that even some of the poor people would be on the outskirts of the banquet, because normally if a rich man had a banquet, at the end of the banquet there would be some entertainment. So even some of the poor people would be on the outside, and they would be looking because they wanted to participate or at least watch some of the entertainment. But they didn't have their feasts like we have them. Most of them had some type of recliner, and they would be almost leaning on their left elbow. So they'd be leaning down, and then there would be some trays, and there would be all kinds of servants that would be feeding them. Oh, it almost gives you kind of that Greek and Roman feeling. All right, there they are dropping their grapes into their mouth. But that's kind of the idea here, that this guy fared sumptuously, and it says all the time. Daily he was feeding himself, he was gorging himself. Man, he was having a good time. And then it says that the beggar was just hoping for some crumbs. Now, I'm not exactly sure, but as I was studying this and researching some of it, it is said that certain people in the Middle East, what they would do is they would take bread and they would clean up some of the area, and they would even clean their hands and they would toss it aside. And that's what the beggar was just hoping for. The thing that the rich man was cleaning his plate and cleaning his hands with and tossing to the side, the beggar was just sitting there saying, man, I just hope that I could get some of this. I just hope that I could have just some crumbs. So as we're now coming into our text here, I think we're getting a word picture that I think Jesus is presenting to us very well. Jesus knew how to get somebody's attention. Jesus knew how to paint the picture for somebody. And here is a rich man that daily is leaning back, and he has so much food there, and he's entertaining people, and that's what this rich man, he had this all the time. So that's what we see in our text, is that the rich man fared sumptuously. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. The idea of purple there is because purple was a coveted color, and it was very hard to come by. So somebody that had purple clothing, and then they had fine linen, not just any type of linen, it was fine linen. When you saw somebody with purple and fine linen walking down the street, you would not say, man, I wonder what status they have in society. You knew they were very wealthy. So the idea of purple and fine linen, the idea of faring sumptuously, meant that this guy had no cares in the world as far as monetary supplies. He had no cares as far as feeding himself. Everything was taken care of. But what you find is in verse 22 that it came to pass. And it comes to pass that the beggar dies, and it comes to pass that the rich man dies, and from that point on, things change. And we have a couple of points that we're going to try to get across this morning to hopefully help us out. First, you see that there is a candid truth about death. What is the candid truth? First of all, death is sure. It's going to happen, because both the beggar and the rich man, they died. But you also see that death can be sudden here. The rich man had everything taken care of. Man, he was living life large. He had everything taken care of, but he didn't take care of one thing, and you and I both are thinking about that. He didn't take care of after death. He didn't take care of after he died, because, man, rich man, don't you know that death is coming? But you know what's interesting to me in this passage is that Jesus gives us another word picture just in describing death, because he says that the beggar died, and you can almost hear the flutter of the wings coming, and angels are carrying the beggar. And all it says about the rich man is he died. He died and was buried. Now, you and I both know, we've been to some funerals. Maybe you haven't, but I've been to some funerals of some notable people. And man, there was probably a long line of those notable people at the rich man's. They come up. Let's call him, you know, he's a Jew here. He's a rich Jew. So I don't know. We'll call him Abraham. All right, so here we come up and they're like, I want to just take a moment and speak about Father Abraham. And then they go on and on. Father Abraham was a great man. He gave this such and such to this place, and he gave these monies to this place. And then they all go sit down. And man, it could be like a half hour of people coming up, and they're like, I really loved Father Abraham. But you know what the Bible says? This rich man died. That's all it says. Because in this life, it's okay to do good deeds, but good deeds are not going to get you to heaven. It's okay maybe to have attained massive amounts of wealth. Man, that, go for it. But Christ is trying to teach you and I a point here. And the point is this. You're going to die. And it doesn't matter what they say at your funeral. You can have the greatest eulogy of all, but you will die. And it's after death that you should be concerned about. Death is sure. Death can be sudden. But what is the cause of death? Here you could come in, and maybe they had doctors and physicians come in, and they studied the rich man, and they studied the anatomy, and they studied those things and said, why did this man die? You know, ultimately, you know why you and I die? Because of sin. Death is a product of sin. How do we know that? In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages, that's the payment. The wages of sin is life. No, you know that's not true. What is the wages of sin? It's death. You and I are gonna die, and it's not because of a heart attack, although that can be a physical meaning or a physical thing that happens to us. It may be that I don't treat my body right and I fall over dead. But ultimately, the reason you and I pass away is because of sin. Because the wages of sin is death. And there's nobody that's going to get away from that wage or payment. The wages of sin. Death is a product of sin. Death is a penalty of sin. Death is a punishment of sin. But here in this passage, then we see the candid truth about death, we see the cause of death, but then we see the conditions after death. What are the conditions after death? There's two distinct parts. You see an earthly part, and what happens? People are buried. But then you see an eternal part. And in verse 22, you see that the beggar is carried away to heaven, and you see that the rich man is carried to hell. Where do we see that? Look at verse 23. Abraham, the beggar died, was carried into Abraham's bosom, talking about heaven. Verse 23, and in hell. Who is that talking about? The rich man. Went to an eternal place. He went to a place called hell, and he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now this is what some of you and I, we are getting a picture from Jesus Christ. He's telling us a story, and he's giving us a picture into the afterlife. You know, there's a lot of people, in fact, the testimony, Doug Dupre was wanting to get involved in astrology and get some tarot cards so we can see far off. Jesus Christ in this passage helps you see into the afterlife. This is what he helps you see, that there's a heaven and there's a hell. This is what he helps you to see, that even in heaven and hell, and this is what a lot of people try to get across in a lot of religions, they say when you die, there's a soul sleep. When you die, there's a purgatory. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ contradicts that. Jesus Christ says when you die, there's either heaven or there's hell, and that's it. There's no soul sleep. There's no purgatory. It's heaven or hell, and that's not my words, that's the words of Christ. So argue with Jesus. Jesus said, there's heaven and hell, and notice that you find the rich man, he is aware of where he's at. Do you notice that? Do you notice in the text here, it says he lifted up his eyes, and he's in torment, and he sees. So it's not like he's not able to do things. He can see. He can feel. Because I can tell you this, torment doesn't come if you can't feel it. But here is the rich man. And the rich man is in torment. And he cries and says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. And cool my tongue, for I am tormented. And notice what it says, in this flame. It says in hell, and it says there's flame. Now this is what you have to understand. The Bible many times uses a picture to help us understand something. And it's using the picture of flame and fire to help us to understand that hell is not a fun or an enjoyable place to be at. Now, you may be sitting there and you say, you know what? Fire doesn't seem that bad, but this is what I can tell you. A picture is never as intense as reality. So if you say, well, I don't know, fire doesn't seem that bad, remember that a picture of something is never as good as the real thing. So when it uses fire and flame, I'm thinking it's really bad. I'm thinking I don't want to be there. And it's amazing that a rich man who had everything on this earth, and according to our text here, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, it seems to indicate, according to my study of the Greek, that this was approximately 3 minutes. It doesn't actually say that in the Greek there, but that's my interpretation. So in a matter of 3 minutes, a rich man became a flaming evangelist. A rich man in hell never accepted Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, later in the passage, what you'll find is he's asking that somebody would go back and witness and testify of Jesus to his brothers and his relatives. And it's amazing what 3 minutes in hell can do. It changed this man. But you'll notice another fact that is told to us. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, this is the angel talking to the rich man. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. What is it saying? It's almost like there's a triangle here. We have earth and we have heaven. Heaven, the word heaven just means higher. All right, so we don't know where heaven is. But let's just, in our visualization, we have earth and we have heaven and we have hell. It just seems like, according to this, from earth, you go to either heaven or you go to hell. And according to this passage, there's no connection between heaven and hell. You can't all of a sudden in hell say, man, oh, I don't like this. Man, you know what? I know they said about the flame here. And in church, they were talking about it. And I kind of snickered. But this is actually real. I don't like it. Hey, can I come up there? What does the Bible says? There's a great gulf fixed. It's too late. Your choice has to be made now. On this earth, at this time, you have to decide, Am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? It's up to you now to decide that. You can't wait until you pass away. Because when you pass away, and remember, it will happen. When you pass away, there's two choices. And it is certain. It is sure. It's either heaven or it's hell. Heaven or hell. We have the two different places, the two destinations. In heaven, there's a removal of sin. There's a redemptive body. There's a reunion with your loved ones. And there's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then in this passage, you see hell. That's the other choice. And there's fire. There's solitude. And you'll notice that there is no end. That means it's forever. There's two choices. So what is the consideration for you as we consider death here this morning? The consideration is we all will die someday. And we all will go to some place. So we need to decide right now. You can decide sometime. You can say, you know what? Maybe on my deathbed. But remember that death can be sudden. You may not know that you have another breath. Just as the man described about the church member last Sunday night at 6:25, he passed out. Right on the side, right over here. Right on the side of our auditorium, he passed out. We're not sure. He may be in eternity now. He may not be. We're praying. He's at the hospital right now. He was up there Friday. We're not sure. But I can tell you this. Death can be sudden. It can be unexpected. You can't say, you know what, on this day, try to do it. Try to put it in your calendar. And you say, you know what, I'm going to live a good life. And at 65 years old, then I'm going to accept Christ. You know people that are not 65, that didn't make it to 65. So what is saying that you're going to make it? You know people that died at 17. There was a jolly 60. She used to sit right in this section about halfway back. And Wednesday morning, they found her body there in Gary by a railroad track. Caroline used to sit right there, and she used to enjoy our services. But Caroline, I believe, is in heaven right now. Why? Because while she was here on this earth, she said, I'm going to die someday. And I'm going to go to some place. So I'm going to decide sometime, and it's now. And it's going to be heaven and not hell. Because delaying, this is what you have to understand. If you say, you know what, I'm not going to choose, you already did. Say, what? How is that possible? He that believeth not the Son is condemned already. That's John 3. So the Bible says, by not making a choice, you made one. You're deciding not to accept Christ. And the only then possible destination is a place called hell. This morning, we looked at this idea of two men. Let's go back to our text. In Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And look at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died. And then we go down, the rich man also died, and he was buried. We're considering death here this morning. And death will come upon all of us. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But I can stand. I can't stand before God in my own good deeds. I can't stand before God and say, well, wait a minute. I was a pastor. I was a preacher. Man, you got to let me in. That will not do me any good and will not do you any good. You say, man, I went to church. I went to church all the time. It's great to go to church, but that's not going to cover your sin. What is going to cover your sin? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross and he paid for your sin. And I must come and submit to Jesus and say, Jesus, you paid my price. And I'll accept that price. And you accept that. It's a free gift. You don't even have to work for it. All you have to do is bow your knee to Jesus Christ and say, God, I accept your gift. I know I am a sinner. And that sometimes is hard for us to say. I'm a sinner and I need Christ. I need his redemptive work to cover my sin. You know what happens? In that moment, your destiny is changed from hell to heaven. In a moment. Because as the text says, rich or poor, we all will die.